Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. Walter M. Sterling live Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday. And tonight, I just have too much to do. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to find out about the scandals of the Mr. Softy truck. Plus, UFO hearings in Congress. Detailed background. Plus, Randy West will share with us information about the strike on the West Coast, which affects us in no way except, gee, that maybe we're not going to have anything to watch on TV. Now, weather with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Walmart! Fireworks! Shooting them off! Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night. This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles. Uneven surfaces. Stripper strike. Portland. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney back from a kid's birthday party.
It was so much fun, except for the gravestone we found in the backyard.
Dun, dun, dun. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
It was a bad idea. Let's face it. Lee County, Georgia, the home of those bulldogs just off of Lido Road. On the 3rd of July, there was a bunch of fireworks going off, as people do to celebrate our Independence Day. Unfortunately, this happened inside a Walmart. Yes, a Walmart. So, four teenagers thought this was a really swift idea. Thought it makes shopping even more convenient. And they were wrong. They've been arrested, and they're, 18 and 17 and younger. The leader of this, because he's 18, second-degree arson, reckless conduct, criminal damage to property in the second degree, 18-year-old Canavian Arnez Hill. Arnez, of course, after Desi Arnez of Desilu Productions. Fireworks are perfectly fine outside in a safe space. It's, in fact, I highly encourage it. It allows you to get in touch with your inner American. Bunch of teenagers in Big Dutch. Casey Samaj Jackson could be charged as an adult, even though Casey is only 17. At some point here, this is really about kids not understanding guardrails. Everyone did stupid things with fireworks when they were kids. And they usually got yelled at by their parents or by a mom or a dad at some point. And these kids, just for whatever reason, thought this was a great idea. Helpful hint. Setting fireworks inside Walmart. Never a good idea, and it very well could land you in jail. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. There's Bruce Bogart. Welcome, Bruce. Hello. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey. How are you?
Hey, good. Now, I'm going to tell a story, and Bruce doesn't know the whole story, but I want him to experience this as best as he can. But first, why can't I hear myself? Hold on a second. I mean, this is very serious. I can't hear myself. Darn it. Test, 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 test. Test, test, test. But you hear me, right, Sean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, here hears me. All right, so I'm going to take this off and not pretend anymore that I can hear myself because I can't. Terrible way to start the show. All right, here's the deal. Last Saturday, I got a letter. I got an email, a letter. Last Saturday, I got a letter. Good, whatever that was, stopped. It's tough doing a radio show from a laundry room. Take my word for it. It really requires a level of professionalism almost nobody has except me. Last Saturday, I got a letter in the mail, and it was from PNC Bank, which has been my bank for 7 years. And the letter says, "We are going to close your account in 5 days." And I'm looking at the letter, and I'm looking at the back of the letter to find out why are they going to close my account in 5 days. And there is nothing in the letter that explains why. And this is a Saturday. There's a phone number on it that says for, you know, to call for information. I call it, and of course it's a Saturday, and the bank, the real bank is closed. The branch bank, they're open, but the real bank is closed. I called the customer service number, and I said, why is this closed? And it's in the Philippines. Whoever I'm talking to is in the Philippines. And she looks, and she can't see anything. She starts to read me back the letter. I said, no, I have that letter. Don't read me back the letter from PNC that says that my account is closed. I can read that letter. Why is the account closed? Tell me why it's closed. She doesn't know. I say, level up. Talk to your supervisor, that person hanging over you, training you. Find out from them why my account is closed. All right, so she asked She asked the person who's training her why the account is closed. And the person training her says nothing. She can't see anything either. All right. On Monday morning, I go into my branch, and the branch manager, Ms. Anderson, is incredibly professional and pleasant. And I show her the letter, and she is surprised, truly surprised. And she says, let me work on this. I will send you an email by 5 o'clock. Fine. 5 o'clock comes, 5 o'clock goes, nothing. Didn't expect anything because it's a bank. Banks are not accountable for anything or to anybody. Now, this is PNC Bank, which is a regional bank. It's not a real bank. It's a real, you know, when your headquarters are in Pittsburgh, that's the best you can do. There are limits to your capabilities. Well, now, the next day, Tuesday, the branch manager, I see her. I go back to the branch. I said, did you find anything out? And she looks at me, and she was embarrassed. She said, all they say is, you have the right to choose a bank or leave it, and we have the right to select a customer or leave them. I'm like, that's it? Do you realize how impolite and rude and arrogant that is? If I stop doing business with you, I can say nothing, but you're going to say, why are we stopping doing business? And I will have an answer. I will have an answer. Or maybe I'll lead with the answer and say, we can't do business anymore because of this. No. PNC Bank, not so much. Silence. I send an email to their CEO, Bill Demchek in Pittsburgh. I sent him an email, a nice email. It was a sober, sane email. I spell out the situation, what's the deal. If you close my account by Friday, this past Friday, it means that the pay I get on the 3rd, I get paid on the 3rd of each month, and the auto payments to my landlord and for my cars will not be happening because there's no way to open a new bank account to change the direct deposit, to change the auto pays in 3 or 4 days. Isn't going to happen. No matter how much somebody wants to help you, it isn't going to happen. I go, I open an account at a different bank as fast as I can. I get my money out of PNC as fast as I can. But I'm like, why? Well, now I have been leveled up, probably because of the email to Bill Demchek. I get leveled up to the executive support level. And I start to get calls from the executive support level. And the first person I talk to there says, well, we have the right to not do business with you just as you have the right to not do business with our bank. I say, yeah, but I've been doing business with your bank for 7 years. It's not overdrawn. There are no outstanding fees. And I'm sorry, but I don't have enough money to have suspicious activity. Now, what's your first impression of this, Bruce Bogart, a retired attorney? What is your impression of this nonsense? Where's Bruce? Hey, Bruce. I don't hear Bruce.
I'm here.
Bruce.
Hey, hello?
Yeah, I'm doing a radio show. I asked you a question. What's the answer?
All right, I'm gonna give you an answer. First of all, I got to tell you something. It's Pittsburgh. It's PNC. It's not you. We know that, okay? Let's cut to the chase. You know what this is like? This is like getting a Dear John letter when you're away in the Army. You've done nothing wrong. You're out there defending your country, and someone sends you a letter saying, I'm not going to marry you anymore. You got a Dear John letter. You know what you do? You have every one of your listeners send a Dear John letter to PNC. I'm not saying I don't care if they're a depositor there or not. Just send a letter to the boss, there to the head man, saying, and address it, Dear John. Doesn't have to say anything else. I don't want them to lose business. I want them to grow up. That's what I would do.
What should my Misfits letter to Bill Demchak at PNC, what should the letter say, Bruce?
I would tell them you feel like you got a Dear John letter. You've done everything right. What more do they want from you? You know what I would really wonder about it, sir? I wonder why they picked on you. I really mean that. You've done nothing wrong. Why would they pick on you in Cleveland, Ohio, New York, or Dallas, wherever the hell you are?
Right. Well, that's...
I know PNC is in several cities in the Midwest.
Well, that's the question I've been asking them, and I haven't gotten an answer yet, but there's more to this mystery, and I will share it with you in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday. Maybe this has happened to you. And if it's happened to you, I'd love to talk to you. My number is 888-688-9258. We're talking to Bruce Bogart, retired attorney. Here's the situation. On Monday, I got a letter from PNC Bank, an annoying regional bank based in Pittsburgh. And I'd been doing business with them for 7 years. I opened an account at PNC because I had a crush on the branch manager. But of course, that branch has closed and I have no idea where the branch manager is. I get a letter saying that my account is being closed in 5 days. An account being closed in 5 days. All of my direct deposits go in there. My pay goes in there. And all my payments, rent and car payments, come out of there on a fixed date. The 3rd. Well, wait a minute. It was about 9 days from the letter I got saying your accounts are going to be closed. I look on the letter. There's no reason. I call them. There is no reason. I go to the branch manager. Very professional. Says, sorry. All they're saying to me is that we have the right to not do business with you, just as you have the right not to do business with us. Now, I've run a lot of businesses. And I know that if I didn't want to do business with you, I would be ready to tell you why. Just as a courtesy, as a business courtesy, I would be able to tell you why. But PNC Bank, being a bank, doesn't tell me why. And then it turns out this is a national problem at multiple banks, including Chase and Bank of America. They're just sending out letters and closing accounts. And vagueness, like there might be suspicious activity or overdrafts, not in my account. But Bruce Bogart, retired attorney, it gets weirder. There were two other accounts tied to mine. One for my daughter number one, one for daughter number two. Two other lines. Now, immediately when I got that letter, my ATM stopped working. My wife's ATM stopped working. But the other two lines, which are linked to my account, daughter one and two, those work fine. They're fine. Branch manager looks online, says, yeah, those accounts are fine. I say, but they're my accounts. They're all attached to this. How can they be fine if you're closed? Therefore, you made a mistake. Your bank made a mistake. PNC Bank. Bill Demchak, the CEO, made a mistake. Because why would you leave two linked accounts open and close one of them? What the hell? What the hell? And then to have to put me through the hell of opening an account at a new bank, changing direct deposit instructions, good luck, and direct payment instructions, good luck. Bruce, what would you do?
First of all, I think you need a therapist. You got to let this go, pal. You were dealing with a scum. Now, for example, I know you're advertising, and you and Mike Lindell, I have two of his pillows for 5 years. I love them. In a million years, I would never switch, certainly for no reason, okay? But you're not dealing with Mike Lindell. You know what you're doing? You're dealing with Bill Demchak, and that's the problem. That's it. Let it go. Drop your lowest score. It's Bill Demchak.
Oh, no, no, no. I can't let it go until the problem's resolved because I still need to get deposits, and I deserve an explanation, and I still need to make payments. I'm not here to perform kumbaya. I want to make them suffer. How do I do that, Bruce? How
do I make
PNC suffer?
Now, did you say before that you're broadcasting from the basement?
The laundry room. The laundry room.
Same thing. Okay, laundry room. I would say that puts you in a minority of broadcasters right now. Would you say that's true?
I've always been a misfit, yes.
Fine. In that case, if you're a minority, this is a form of racism. And I would take that to him. He's mistreating a minority.
Because I broadcast from a laundry room and not a studio, I'm a minority. I think that's a very valid point. Yeah. Bruce Bogart, that's a very valid point. Now, what did you say? You said all the misfits should bombard them with letters, should bombard Bill Demchak with letters. Is that right?
Well, not to the extent that you would do anything other than get his attention. I wouldn't want to interrupt his business.
No.
That would be inappropriate.
Right. We're not going to interrupt his business. We're not going to threaten him in any way. We're just going to annoy him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the way. Maybe I don't know what the right way to do it. You want to do it in an appropriate way. But the bottom line of the whole thing is, it's not right. Let me tell you something right now. If he were alive and Dale Carnegie made the call to him, his bank accounts would have been freed up immediately. You're not Dale Carnegie.
No, but out of character, Bruce, I was incredibly polite on the phone with these people. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't threaten. I didn't curse.
Don't make a habit of that.
No, I won't make a habit of that, Bruce. Bruce Bogart, retired attorney, thank you very much, very much. Go ahead.
Say that again.
What?
I'm not a retired attorney. I'm just another guy. I don't want to hear that, okay?
You attorneys are all weird. When you turn in your licenses, you're so anxious to become just civilians. I'll never understand it.
You know, I can make you jealous, but I don't have a PNC account.
Thank you very much.
Great
Bruce
show,
Bogart. Thank you very much. That's the problem. Have you had this problem with your bank? Do you have a bank horror story? I love to hear, Bruce. I love to hear bank horror stories. My number is 888-688-WALT. PNC screwed me. Bill Demchak refuses to answer my emails. The CEO of PNC Bank. That bank has screwed my family. That I spent a week in hell trying to straighten this out, and it's not straightened out, and I deserve better. But, believe it or not, Mr. Softee is causing massive problems in New Jersey, a state that should have no problems because, you know, New Jersey's problem enough. But Mr. Softee is causing trouble. And we're going to find out why coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live. You know, Art Bell reruns, those are not live. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
All right, we have Scandal with Mr. Softee. Yes, Scandal with Mr. Softee. All of that and you coming up in seconds. Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles. Uneven surfaces. Stripper strike. Portland. Details later. Strippers on loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney back from a kid's birthday party.
It was so much fun! except for the gravestone we found in the backyard.
Dun, dun, dun. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Coming up in just seconds, a hot report from Gary Arnell about Mr. Softy. But first, I want to talk to you, my Midnight Misfits. I want to talk to Don in Kansas City at 888-688-WALT. How did you feel about my bank horror story, Don?
It gives me the horror chills. And they need a little pill here, and it's called the Big Guns, Walter. If you're sitting down, are you ready for this? The Big Guns, Walter, is the Federal Trade Commission. Your bank is a fiduciary, and the laws are very stiff, very rigid, and they're scared to death of the Federal Trade Commission. That's your first call. You tell them you have fiduciary, or it sounds like I'm drunk, a fiduciary emergency, and tell them they are shutting down everyone's account, including my account, and we have all this business coming in and out, and they're not letting us have access to our accounts, our money. The fiduciary sounds like it's collapsing illegally.
All right, Don, in Kansas City, thank you very much for your call. Fiduciary is an SAT word, so I'm struggling with that. Oh, it's so annoying. Why don't I have the player I need? There you go.
The creamy, creamy and saucy cream you get from Mr. Softy. For refreshing delight supreme, look for Mr. Softy.
My milkshakes and my sundaes and my cones are such a treat. Listen for my store on wheels. Ding-a-ling down the street.
The creamiest, creamiest soft ice cream you get from Mr. Softy. For refreshing delight to free, look for Mr. Softy. S-O-F-T-E-E, Mr. Softy.
Nobody knew that the Mr. Softy music actually had lyrics. That alone, Gary Arnell, is a revelation. But Gary Arnell, star of WPHT, he owns his real estate, his on-air real estate. How much real estate does he have? 2 hours a week. But in those 2 hours, I got to tell you, Gary, you sound better than most people on the radio anywhere. Gary, what is the update on Mr. Softy in the great Northeast?
So, Walter, here's the deal. You know, we just came out of July 4th a couple of weeks ago, and in my neighborhood, I mean, it was like a blast zone, like you were in Ukraine somewhere, and people acting in a juvenile capacity. Then comes along this story. So you have a reason to complain. Then comes along the Mr. Softy story out of Dateline, Gloucester Township, New Jersey. For those unfamiliar, Walt, that's about an hour west of Atlantic City. And the Mr. Softy truck, and by the way, I never knew they had lyrics in that thing. That was like amazing to me. So the truck is coming through the neighborhood. It's playing the music. And a couple of neighbors, I think two or three, they were irritated by the level of the music in the Mr. Softy truck. Not late at night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so they went to Facebook and they complained about the noise. Well, they took notice of this at the corporate headquarters, which is in Runnymede, New Jersey, not too far from Gloucester Township, and they get in touch with the driver, and the driver's in communication with one of the people who complained on Facebook, and he decides, along with the company, you know what, let's keep it calm, we're not going to drive down that section, that street, maybe the street adjacent to it, so that we're not upsetting these people. Incredible. Absolutely. And this is the mass chaos in which we live in today, that the music coming from a Mr. Softy truck. Now, one of the persons who complained, Walter, they wrote on Facebook, this is what was chronically bothering them. You're disturbing the peace, you're waking babies, and you're sending my pets into a frenzy. This is from a Mr. Softy truck. So corporate headquarters responds, all right, nearby Runnymede. A guy by the name of Mike Conway, you got to hear this, third generation owners, they've owned it, I think, since 1958 or something. Little history. You know, Walter, I'll bring you some information here. He says, the guy who's the CEO says, and I quote here, if it's too late, if it's past like 10 o'clock at night, we're like, okay, that's way too late, and we might wake people up. But sometimes it can be 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you're waking up my sleeping baby. But what about the other kids in the neighborhood that are running around and want ice cream? I mean, it's just incredible. So he says when they stop the trucks, they turn the music down. That's what they advise the drivers. And in the meantime, it's still unclear as to whether or not this driver has returned to the Blackwood section of Gloucester Township. Walter, with all the things in the world to complain about now, these people, these two or three people, are just, it's just absolutely incredible that they would complain about the level of music. They should live in my neighborhood with my neighbor across the street, Paul, who does listen to this program. I hope he's listening tonight, because I have a little bit of a problem confronting him face to face over this with all the noise that comes out of there all week. It was just unbelievable, Walt. Unbelievable that they would complain about a Mr. Softy ice cream truck.
Gary Arnell, how was it resolved? Do you know how it was resolved, this incredible noise level for Mr. Softy? How was this resolved?
First of all, as I said, we don't know if the truck has returned or not, because supposedly they're still in some kind of negotiation. And
A negotiation? You're kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it. And what are they going to do? Tell them we're going to turn the level of the music down a couple of octaves while we're coming down your street so that we're not sending your pets into a frenzy? I mean, then the kids are not, they're going to go into a frenzy if the Mr. Softy truck isn't coming down the street. I mean, absolutely, ludicrously, just unbelievable. I said, Walter, with everything that you can complain with in the world today, you got these two or three people, and the company reacts like, oh, we better do something about this.
Well, Gary Arnell, this is clearly the B block story. We're not in the D or C. This is the B block story. Now, I have an important question for you, Gary.
Yes,
thank you for the update on Mr. Softy. I can't figure out a place to play this clip in the show, so I'm just going to play it here. Would you like to hear Brittany Snow, actress Brittany Snow, writhing erotically?
It's a question that, yeah.
I must be awful thirsty. I want to be in the movie. Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Let's hear that again.
There is hot out there. You must be awful thirsty. I want to be in the movie. Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Now, there's Walter. Brittany Snow, who was in American Dreams, a prime Philadelphia television show. There she is riding and the movie is called X, like Twitter. It's called X, and she's topless.
Yes.
And she's topless in this movie, Gary.
Yep. Yeah, and she said she's thirsty. So my take on it is the Mr. Softy truck has stopped coming down her block, and she's writhing in that capacity in which you just said. Yeah, no, there's a big local history to that story. Absolutely. So, yep.
Gary Arnell, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much.
There is hot out there. You must be awful thirsty. I want to be in the movie. Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to find out if there are Mr. Softy trucks in Alaska. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down!
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Let's see what the geniuses in Florida are up to this week, shall we? All right, I want to start with a guy who is 21 years old. He's at a park when the cops show up. He was called the cops because he had been shot. So the cops started asking him a few questions. How did you get shot? He said, well, I was being carjacked by these two guys, and one of them shot me, and then they ran off. And they said, I noticed you have a gun that has been fired in the passenger seat. He said, yes. When they tried to carjack me, I grabbed my gun, and as they were running away, I fired five shots at them.
And so the cops looked around and they said, well, where's the shell casing for the gun that they fired? And the 21-year-old Florida man said, oh, I saw the shooter pick up his own shell casing. That sounds a little suspicious. So they take him to the hospital to get treated for the gunshot wound to his leg. And the cops are talking to each other. Something doesn't add up. So they go ask him again, you sure you want to tell us the real story? Okay. He wasn't carjacked. He was at the park. And he and his girlfriend got into an argument, and so then he went to his car and got his gun, and he says he was playing with it. I guess, twirling around with it like Doc Holliday or something, and he accidentally shot himself. Well, 21-year-old Florida man, why did you make up this story about being carjacked? Well, because he thought it would be embarrassing, and he would also get in trouble with his employer for playing with a gun in a public park. It turns out he is employed as a dispatcher for the local sheriff's department. And yes, he did lose his job. And his girlfriend. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Be awful thirsty.
I want to be in the movie.
Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Oh my God, Brittany Snow being hot.
There is hot out there. Must be awful thirsty.
I want to be in the movie.
Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Oh, Brittany Snow in a movie called X, an erotic thriller. X. With interracial love. Brittany Snow, Meg Ryan from American Dreams. Oh my gosh. I want to see what you're looking at. I have posted on Facebook, Walter Sterling Facebook. I've posted my laundry room. You can see what I look at, the embarrassment to American broadcasting, but I am proud of it. Send me an email with a picture of what you're looking at. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I want to see what you're looking at. Plus, we have a Twitter account, or now it's called an X account, Walter M. Sterling. Sign up. Follow me on Twitter. We have so much to do because I am so annoyed at PNC Bank for closing my account for no reason. Keith Fons is in Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska. Keith, do you have Mr. Softy Trucks in Alaska?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
No soft ice cream. No ice cream trucks come to the parks or down the street in Alaska. There's really no need, right?
Well, it'd be kind of nice. We've actually thought about doing one ourselves because you just don't see the ice cream man anymore.
All right, I order you to do that. Now, Keith Fons, you've done something good for once in your life. You've started up a benefit for children. Tell me how that's going. What's it called? What are you doing?
We put on the first ever Kids Mart where anybody under the age of 18 in our community and local area around us, they could come out and they could set up a stand. They sold anything from baked goods to ice cold drinks to handcrafts, bracelets, paintings. We had people that made silver coins, and these are all kids under the age of 18 that came out, and the community came out and supported them, and it was a great event. We had local leaders from several different cities. We had a senator come out, and it was all for the kids. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was driving doing my DoorDash, and you know, when you're driving for hours, you have nothing but time. So I came up with an idea for this event, and I approached one of our local stores, and they hosted it. They gave me the property to put on this event. And then over the last 2 weeks, I've gone and I've gotten over a dozen local businesses that came out in support of the event and got some news coverage on it. And we ended it about 2 hours ago, and every kid there had fun. They made money. And it was all about teaching them a lesson of the value of money. You spend time on something, you promote it, you sell it, you make money, and that's the way it works.
Now, the money that you raised, where's that money going to go?
The kids got to keep 100% of their money.
So they made crafts, they drew something, they promoted something, And it's their little business. You have started them as entrepreneurs. They raise the money, they generate the revenue, and they keep it. Is that right, Keith Fons in North Pole, Alaska?
Correct. Every kid today that came out and set up a booth and made money, they kept 100% of the money.
What was the most
live music?
What was the most popular booth?
I would say probably the cotton candy machine. We had a young lady, I would say probably about 12, 13. She had her own cotton candy machine, and she started up a local business doing cotton candy at events. So she came out today, and she was definitely the hit of the party.
Keith Fons, this is a great thing. What was the name of the event again?
Kids Mart.
Kids Mart. What a great idea. Thank you so much. Thank you, Keith Fons, for being on Sterling on Sunday. What a great idea to teach kids entrepreneurship instantly in a minor, appropriate way. Terrific. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up, we're going to have a smutty book author. She's going to read a passage from her smutty book. Her name's Thea Landon. You want to follow her on Twitter. Believe me, Thea Landon is a hoot. And her books are the best possible books, especially with the UFO hearings. You know what they're about? They're about bisexuality in outer space. Welcome, my friends. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. Welcome to KFBK in Sacramento. I'm Walter M. Sterling. We're on about 110 radio stations from coast to coast. And more importantly, we're live. We're not a 20-year-old air check of Art Bell. You know, Art Bell's been dead for a very long time, but we do have the latest on the UFO hearings in Congress this week. That's coming up in the beginning of the next hour, plus coming up in seconds. Thea Landon has put out a new erotic book. She is a smutty book author, and she is proud of it, and you should be proud of her. First, Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles, uneven surfaces, stripper strike, Portland. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
So if you're wanted by the cops and while you're getting off the airplane, you see some cops are waiting to arrest you at the gate, find out if pulling the emergency door and jumping off the wing works. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney back from a kid's birthday party.
It was so much fun, except for the gravestone we found in the backyard.
Dun, dun, dun. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're as hot out there. You must be awful thirsty.
I want to be in the movie.
Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
It's unbelievable that Brittany Snow, pure as the driven snow, the star of Pitch Perfect, the star of American Dreams, my favorite TV show is now nude in a movie called X, and it's coming out soon. Very exciting. Plus, coming up, Midnight Misfits, I have a secret message for you. But in order to understand the secret message and get the secret message, you will need your decoder card, your Midnight Misfit decoder card. How do you get such a thing? Go to Walter Sterling Show. No, my last name isn't Show, it's Sterling. WalterSterlingShow.com. Click the Midnight Misfit button and download your card right now. No need to wait for the mail. It's available and it's free right now. Plus, we're going to get an update on the UFOs. We're going to get an update on the UFOs from an expert. That's coming up in seconds. And Randy West is in Los Angeles, who will share with us information, the secret information about the after strike, the union strike. People who have giant swimming pools are going out on strike. But now, Thea Landon, I love Thea Landon because she is a prolific author, and she has the most fun Twitter feed of anybody. Oh, I'm sorry, the X feed, the X feed. She's listed as Thea, T-H-E-A, Landon. And Thea, when do you have time to have a life? Because you're always tweeting.
You know what? For the longest time, I held out on putting the Twitter app, so I guess we're calling it the X app, on my phone. I said, no, I don't want to be attached to this. I don't want to get notifications all the time. But really, it doesn't take too much time to just pull out my phone, fire off a quick tweet, ignore all the notifications I have, and get to them later. And any thought that comes to my mind that I think might be even remotely interesting, I just send it off and deal with it later.
Spell your last name.
It's L-A-N-D-E-N.
L-A-N-D-E-N, Thea Landon. You want to sign up for her X Twitter feed. It's funny. There are a couple of things I've noticed, Thea. You seem to always be going to the gym, but never voluntarily.
I do love my gym, but I will admit some days it's an effort to get there. But the nice thing about my gym, or not so nice, depending on how you look at it, if you sign up for class and you don't show up, they charge you an extra $12 fee. And there are some days that $12 is the only thing that gets me in the door, but then I'm happy at the end of it.
Thea Landon, when you go to the gym, do you have a trainer?
I do. I take classes. I'm not just there on my own, because if I were, I would accomplish absolutely nothing. So I do take coached classes, and I love my coaches. They're practically family at this point.
That's the only reason I used to go to the gym, because I knew a trainer was waiting for me. And if I didn't show up, I'd have to forget about the fee to the gym. I had to pay the full amount to the trainer. That's what got me to the gym. What is the name of your new book, Thea Landon?
My newest book is Conquering the Skies. It is the fifth and final book of my Searching the Skies series, which has been coming out for the past couple months. And I'm breathing a sigh of relief because the series is ending now and it's all out there and it feels like a huge chapter of my life is over now. But really, I'm so excited that it's done, it's out there, and so far readers have been enjoying it, and I hope the last book lives up to their expectations.
Thea, have you selected a passage to share with us on over 100 radio stations, many of them covering three-quarters of the country? Do you have a passage that you'd like to share with us?
I do have a passage, and I'm going to do my very best to read it dramatically. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm getting over a sinus infection. Don't ask me how that happened.
Now, there's a buzzkill. Thea. We don't want to hear about your sinuses.
No, you
share
don't.
With us this erotic novel, this smutty novel. Please go ahead.
Okay, here is an excerpt from Conquering the Skies, which is available on Amazon. Ash caught her wrist and yanked her down on top of him. She took a moment to return his smile before pressing her mouth to his. As he folded his arms around her waist, her tongue slipped past his lips. No matter how many kisses they'd shared, the taste of him never failed to incite a thrill deep inside her. Without abandoning any points of contact, he sat up, letting her straddle his lap. His hands slid beneath her shirt, leaving a fiery imprint as they skimmed over her bare skin. Her knees tightened around him, but she broke away when he neared the clasps of her bra. "Hold on," she said. "Not here." One side of his mouth curled up as he raised an eyebrow. "What's the matter? Is there suddenly something wrong with your sofa?" "First of all, it's our sofa now." She cupped the sides of his face in her hands and delivered one more flirty kiss before hopping off of him. "I just think if we're celebrating, we should do this right." He jumped up after her. "There isn't a wrong way to do anything with you, as far as I'm concerned. But if you insist..." Geneva led him to the darkened bedroom. From outside the window, lights from the surrounding city cast the small space in a muted glow, allowing her to navigate through the shadows with ease. Standing beside the bed, she turned around and put her hand up. "Wait, stay there." He paused in the doorway. "Why?" She tugged at the hem of her blouse, but didn't make any effort to remove it. "Because half the time, when you undress me, I wind up having to buy new lingerie." Ash laughed, yet his mirth soon faded. "I thought it was kind of a running thing between us by this point, but if it bothers you, I can stop." Her hands dropped to her sides, and she exhaled. "Most of the time, I don't mind," she admitted. "If nothing else, I should be glad you still find me so irresistible after so long." His eyes glittered in the wan lighting. "Always." Grasping the thin fabric, she pulled her shirt off over her head and let it flutter to the floor. His chest heaved as his intense stare remained trained on her, but he stood in place several feet away. She slid her pants down her legs and kicked them to the side before straightening. Though tempted to test the limits of his patience, she quickly shed her bra and panties and added them to the growing pile, never taking her gaze off his. A muscle in his jaw twitched. "Are you done?" "Yes." As soon as the word left her mouth, he was at her side, one arm encircling her waist while his other hand fisted in her hair. He slammed her body into his as he assaulted her lips with a rough kiss. While their tongues tangled together, she jerked his shirt out of the top of his shorts, desperate to feel more of him. His shorts dropped to the floor, soon followed by his boxers. With nothing left to impede her access to him, Geneva closed the gap between them again, pressing along the length of him. He swallowed back a groan and returned his hands to her waist. One palm skimmed up her side, rising to caress the outer curve of her chest.
Well, I think we should win an award for this, for the sort of art of erotica. Thea Landon, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Conquering the Skies.
And it's available where?
It is an Amazon exclusive, so you can either buy it for your Kindle, or if you are a member of the Kindle Unlimited program, you can read it for free.
The great Thea Landon, smutty book author, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you. It's 18 past the hour. Coming up in seconds, we're going to hear about the rough and tumble union negotiations with the AFTRINs. And then at midnight or 9 o'clock West Coast, an update on the congressional hearings on UFOs. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get shales, negotiating on the wire.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we have a guy that is on the run. What we have is a man who got in trouble with the law, decided that he is going to try and hide out in Florida. There's some other charges. Someone has a restraining order on him and some piddly stuff. No, I mean, nothing too serious. It's not like he's a serial killer, but he's from the Minneapolis area. And I guess that whenever you buy a plane ticket after you've been hiding out in Florida for so long and you have a warrant, the sheriff's department gets flagged because he noticed, the plane just landed. He's on the tarmac. They just docked. And it looks like the cops are here to arrest someone. Gee, does anyone on this flight have any warrants? Oh, yeah, I do.
Police were waiting at the gate to arrest a 44-year-old New Brighton man when he opened an emergency door over a wing and took off. The attempted escape occurred around 11:15 p.m. on a parked Sun Country Airlines flight from Orlando. Airport employees found the man inside an airline service food truck minutes later. He was arrested and is being held at the Hennepin County Jail. Police say he was wanted on felony drug charges and for violating a restraining order.
I think a good lesson learned here is one of the worst places that you can try to evade security personnel is probably at an airport. Just throwing it out there. Hold my beer. Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
And this is Brittany Snow. From Pitch Perfect and American Dreams, finally, in an erotic movie where she's topless.
You're as hot out there. You must be awful thirsty.
I want to be in the movie.
Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Oh, my gosh. So Brittany is topless. She's faking a Southern accent, although probably she doesn't have to fake it because she is from Florida. She probably actually does have a Southern accent that she has to disguise. Brittany Snow topless. This is going to add 5 years to my life at least. Now, get this. A passenger on an American Airlines flight, an international flight, had such a bad experience, but we don't know what the experience is. She actually tailed and chased the flight attendant home. Chased the flight attendant home, terrifying the flight attendant.
I tried slowing down, I tried speeding up. She's just like not stopping for anything. I get to the farthest left lane, and I'm going as fast as I can to try to get away from her. She pulls up beside my Jeep, and my windows are down, and she looks at me and she goes, "F your airline," and she starts throwing out of her car, and it's like hitting my side of my car. And she, like, tries to run me off the road to the point where I had to, like, literally stop and, like, I almost wrecked, like, a few different times.
Now, the flight attendant says that she sympathizes with travelers who are upset about flight delays and cancellations, but I have nothing to do with that. I just work for them. And by the way, the people who work on the airlines, they lose when the flight's late. They don't get paid until the flight goes off. Did you know that? American Airlines is struggling with operations right now. She says, I get frustrated, too, because we don't get paid for boarding. And we don't have a contract right now. So the flight attendants don't even have a labor agreement, which we're going to learn about with After in seconds. Hours expired the last 4 years. And we are so tired, too. Like, really? I just don't get why people are so cruel sometimes. Now, in a follow-up video with her blonde hair down, Braley thanked viewers for their support and explained that she posted the video to vent to her fellow crew members. She also said that when her mother asked her if she got the woman's license plates, I was like, no, that didn't cross my mind. Also that she didn't call the cops. She was kind of stalking me a little bit, and once I realized, like, oh my gosh, what was happening, it was because my windows were down and she saw that I was in uniform and just thought I was a target. There was a time, my friends, when getting on an airplane was kind of fun. It was something I looked forward to, and I'm going to tell you something else. It was something I actually dressed for. I wore good pants. I put on a tie because I knew that I'd be treated better if I looked better. That is still true, by the way. Your odds of getting upgraded to first just by sitting there and being pleasant are much greater if you're wearing a suit and a tie, or if you're a woman, if you're wearing a nice skirt, expensive shoes, have an expensive purse. Your odds of getting upgraded are much better than if you're wearing a tracksuit, or in the 70s, a leisure suit. Much better. But here was this passenger who had a terrible experience on an international flight, spotted a flight attendant in her car going home and followed her and harassed her and threw things at her. That's the level it's gotten to. And the problem is that once you and I are on an airplane, it is martial law. You don't do a thing. I would never raise my voice, get excited, get mad on an airplane. It's all, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, whatever you want, sir, happy to help. Is there anything I can do for you? But here's this international passenger who's like, well, once she was off the plane, it was fair game. And she was going to go after, in her car, an airline employee. And she harassed him for having, harassed her for having big breasts. That was part of the package. Harassed her for having big breasts. Therefore, it was my kind of story. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. Coming up, I'm going to share with you the horror that I went through with PNC Bank this week. They closed my account for no reason. And then I sent an email to Bill Demchak, their CEO, who did not answer my email. Has not answered it. Instead, it was leveled up to an executive level. And I still don't know why they closed my account. And it turns out this is a national problem with many banks just closing accounts, no reason, no explanation, and saying, well, we have the right to do that. I don't think you do. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
All right. Congratulations to Keith Mortensen. Keith is retiring. A UPS truck driver, a faithful listener to Sterling on Sunday. Congratulations on your retirement. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to find out about the union workers in Los Angeles who need to get their pools cleaned. Plus, at midnight, 9 p.m. West Coast time, an update on the UFO hearings in Congress. This is a very full and very powerful show. Coming up in seconds, Randy West. This is Sterling on Sunday. Now, Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles, uneven surfaces, stripper strike, Portland. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
10 years ago, a sinkhole opens up and swallows a Florida man and kills him instantly. And now, the sinkhole's not done yet. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part three of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney back from a kid's birthday party.
It was so much fun, except for the gravestone we found in the backyard.
Dun, dun, dun. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
With another update on our life living in an old house with our 8 kids.
Tonight, we were out of our old house and in somebody else's brand new house for a kid's birthday party.
We have 8 kids. Our friends, how many kids?
They have 4. Number 5 is on the way.
We get together for birthdays. Very simple little thing. But we do it at her father's house, Ray's house.
Ray. We're calling him Ray for the purposes of this broadcast because we wouldn't want to, you know, throw his name out there.
But he's the pop-pop of the kids, the
right.
Grandfather.
Exactly.
It was a good time. Cake, ice cream, beautiful day. Kids were out riding bicycles, playing outside.
Jumping on the gator, driving through the cornfields in the middle of a southern Delaware summer. It's just all beautiful.
I decided to take a walk with one of the kids to the back corner of the property.
Yeah.
And I come upon a brand new gravestone, like a brand new granite headstone that has Ray's name on it and his birth date.
Just plopped right out there in the back 40.
And I am thinking, wait a minute, does he want to be buried? Is this real? He wants to be buried in his backyard.
It is real. He wants to be buried in his backyard. He found that he can be buried in his backyard.
Yeah, I say, Ray, what's with the headstone? He says, well, I bought it for my 70th birthday.
Woo! Happy birthday, Ray!
Apparently, 100 and some years ago, there were a few people buried there, mm-hmm. and so he checked with a funeral director, and because there's an existing burial plot, he could be technically buried there without any special permitting.
Right. You do have to have special permitting to be buried on your own property in Delaware where we live. You can be buried if it's approved in a regular cemetery, but if it's in one of these old farms. Like, I grew up on one of these old farms where, like, we walked out in the backyard and we were walking on people's gravestones.
Sure.
And you could be buried there because it's already been done. It's like grandfathered in.
So he's going to be buried in his backyard.
Right.
And he already has the headstone. And my issue was, I said, Ray, I don't like the placement of the grave.
Because?
It's right underneath an old walnut tree. Walnuts are falling on all around the gravestone.
What difference does that make?
Honey, when you dig the hole for his body,
the nuts are going to fall in? What?
The root structure of the tree, you're going to be digging right into the walnut tree's root structure.
Do you know who we're talking about here? The man probably has more excavators than you have nose hairs. It's really fine.
So we had this big conversation, though. I'm like asking him to move his own gravestone.
You did not.
Yeah. I said, you ought to move it about 6-8 feet in case I live longer than you. I don't want to be digging through those roots. That's what I said to
him. And who do you think is going to live longer, you or Ray? That's the question today.
Probably Ray.
Probably, because he is the most prepared man in the world. And I have to say, I appreciate what he's done. You know, he's already taken care of this for his kids. Right. They don't have to worry about it. Pick up some shovels.
They have to worry about digging through those roots.
And an excavator, and then they'll be done. Really. They're a construction family. They'll be fine.
So you and I have to have a talk.
And that's about what?
Where are we going to be buried?
Oh, I don't even want to deal with this. Like, really, can we just buy a farm where there's an old established gravesite like my grandparents had, and we can just be chucked out in the field?
Maybe we can be buried next to Ray.
Oh, my gosh. Great idea.
Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. Now, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Randy West. Who is Randy West? This is Randy West.
Here it comes from the Bob Studio at CBS in Hollywood. Television's most exciting hour of fantastic prizes. The fabulous 60-minute Price is Right. Kelly Havel, come on down.
Randy West, what a thrill it must have been to be an announcer on The Price is Right.
Walt Sterling, come on down!
Yeah, how much did you have to rehearse? How much did you have to rehearse?
Well, I've been rehearsing my whole life for something like that. All you do is you do the show in reverse order for rehearsal. The hour show takes about 40 minutes to rehearse backwards. The last thing you rehearse is the first thing that happens. And with Bob Barker, there's no screwing around. It's like clockwork. It was fun.
When you announce, does the director say in your ear, like when you're about to do another prize or another prize, does the director say in your ear, announce?
Exactly. Exactly, because you don't know what his camera angles are and what he wants to do when, so you want to wait for him to get the shot of the prize or the person coming down. So you hear ready music, cue music, camera two, take three, announce. And that's
now,
your cue to start talking.
Randy West is our Zelig in Hollywood. Every star, every set in Hollywood, every studio has a picture of it with Randy West. He knows everything. He's a longtime member of AFTRA. He's kept an eye on the SAG-AFTRA strike, the writer's strike. How will this affect me? And what's the status of the strike?
If you like to watch TV, if you have your favorite dramas or sitcoms on network or on Netflix or any of the streaming channels, they're going to run out of product before you've had your fill, and you'll want to cancel because they'll be running nothing new. That's going to be a few couple of months down the road for streaming, but for broadcast television, September is when they redo the new season of shows. ABC will have no sitcoms and no dramas. It's all games and reality, because that's produced under a different contract. So expect very little, by the way, of what you've normally come to see, sitcoms and dramas on network television. It's all going away, at least until this strike is settled.
They're striking over mostly about streaming residuals. And what surprises me about the streaming residuals issue, I would have figured that in their last contract and the contract before that, there would have been a clause that said, or any new technology, that it would have been covered with, or any new technology we will get residuals from. Now, give us one of those dramatic examples. If I'm in a sitcom right now, how much would I probably get per episode? And then how much would I get on first run? But then how much would I get once it starts streaming on some sad streaming service?
Oh, boy. Well, what did you make? Well, if you're Seinfeld, you made $1 million an episode. If you're just a guy with a lead role or supporting role in a sitcom, you make $50,000. Boy, that sounds like a lot of money. But a season used to be 26 episodes, 24 episodes. Now a season on network could be as few as 15. And on, you know from watching streaming, a series runs 10 episodes. That's a season. You've seen that 8, 10, 12, numbers like that. You make a good check on the first run, however, because we were always told streaming is not a big thing. First we were told cable's not a big thing. Then we were told home video is not a big thing. Then we were told streaming. Well, I got news for you. Streaming is overtaking broadcast. They will not share the viewership numbers with us. It's very proprietary. So we're asking for either an accounting of who's watching, how many people are watching. Let us have a third party make those determinations, a research firm. No. We'll tell you what it's worth. Well, that check that should have been 90% of what you made the first time for the first rerun on broadcast, that number could be now 30% instead of 90. So it's cutting in big time. The other issue is artificial intelligence. Somebody up in Silicon Valley got all these people excited. Imagine you don't have to work with any writers. You'd imagine you don't have to work with any actors. All most of those unions, you can bust them wide open. There'll be no residuals for writers or actors. How will we do that? Well, you scan the actors from all angles, and then you can take their voices, and you could use AI to have them say anything you want. Well, and writers, well, you know already you can do this on chat, you know, that software, AGT, whatever it's called. I hate to remember it by name because it's crazy for the writers. You just write in, a puppy dog gets lost in the fields of Ireland, and a cow in love with a woman, and a guy, and a thing, and you know what? A story comes out. And now it may not be ready to be put on the air, but you don't need a writer to punch it up. You can have a producer make the script out of the story that gets punched out. And in another year or two or three, this technology will be out of control in a good way for some industries, a bad way. Now, here's where this thing has gotten. In the 2 years, two weeks that SAG-AFTRA has been on strike, it has turned into junior high school fighting. All right, what do we mean? Well, we mean that Universal cut down the trees, so when we strike at Universal, walk the picket line, we're now in the sun when we used to be in the shade. If you're Disney, you've got the city to take a big three-block-long place where we all used to park our cars so we could walk around Disney picketing. Well, they have that now as a temporary no-parking zone. It's childish. Bob Iger from Disney went on television and said the actors are unrealistic. Well, that came from a guy, as far as salary demands, that came from a guy who makes $87,000 a day. $87,000 a day, and we're unrealistic? Now they're cutting back on the things that we quoted them on. SAG-AFTRA said background actors, you know, the background people, the extras in the scenes, we want to hire them for a day and scan all their data points, and then we can use them in anything in perpetuity. Well, that's what SAG-AFTRA came back from the table telling us. Then the studio said, oh, no, we didn't say that. We said it would be informed consent. When they come in to work, we'll have them informed that we can use them in anything, and then they can go home if they don't want to. Well, hello. So now we're cutting trees and we're missing language and we're fooling around with what the dry cleaning allowance should be. Should it be $12 or $17 if you're responsible for dry cleaning your clothes? With a guy who's making $87,000 a day, and he's only one of several. They want to bust the unions. They want AI to be a free opportunity for them. Well, and I'm sorry, but it's not fair.
Well, Randy West, let me tell you, I fooled around with this AI. I wanted to demonstrate it on the air, so I had it write some stories These stories are horrible. It's a long way from writing scripts for television. It's a long way. Mm-hmm. However, it sounds to me, Randy West, that the union and management are nowhere near coming to an agreement. No. It sounds like months before there's
We're miles apart. This is going to go on for months and months and months. And what do the studios say? We're going to bust these writers till they're homeless, and then they'll give in to us.
Well, many of the...
We're going to throw out people who are working people.
Randy West, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Many of these writers and actors are already homeless, or they're living in a rich person's pool house. Thank you, Randy West. 888-688-WALT. I've been sharing with you the horror that I've gone through with PNC Bank the past week. I get a letter from them out of nowhere saying, we're closing your accounts. No reason, no explanation, many phone calls, still no explanation. Imagine having your account closed for no reason and barely any notice. Trouble with the banks. I want to talk to you about trouble with your bank. Coming up in seconds, you and I are also going to learn the latest on the UFO hearings. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk to Dave Scott, who has an update on the congressional UFO hearings. Plus, you need a Midnight Misfit decoder card. Yes, a decoder card, so you will get the secret message. Well, how do you get a decoder card? Go to Walter Sterling Show right now. Download it. It's for free, and you will be able to get the secret message. This is Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilohula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles, uneven surfaces, stripper strike, Portland. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
10 years ago, a sinkhole opens up and swallows a Florida man and kills him instantly. And now, the sinkhole's not done yet. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part three of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Open a can of cat food, and the first thing that comes to mind is, wow, that smells great. Why don't they make that for people? Well, your dreams have been answered. Now you can enjoy the same savory meals your cat loves. Fancy Feast Medleys is a cat-inspired dinner to celebrate International Cat Day in August. The event is billed as culinary exploration for cats, and the menu includes baked sea bass with tomato, capers, olives, and a touch of oregano. Ah, oregano, the secret ingredient to whet the appetite of the most finicky cat. And what cat doesn't love braised beef and wine? The feast is designed to introduce humans to the culinary creations pet cats enjoy. There'll be pâté tasting created by Fancy Feast's in-house chef. After all, pâté is a classic presentation in both fine dining and cat food. And if you don't like the food, simply turn up your nose and walk away. Cat style. Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
All right. Alan First is the smartest programmer I know because he clears all 3 hours of Sterling on Sunday. Dave Labrosi, program director of KDKA in Pittsburgh, also a genius. Steve Moore, KMOX, Greg Stocker, these are brilliant people. Let me tell you about idiot program directors I know. I'm going to tell you something, you won't believe it. Do you remember Art Bell? Art Bell used to talk about UFOs. Art Bell died about 20 years ago. He was a great broadcaster, but he died about 20 years ago. Do you know there are radio stations that still air his shows? And they're unedited. He'll say things like, well, this morning on CNN, and then he'll quote a story from 20 years ago. It wasn't edited out. And those same program directors are so afraid to air this show. because, you know, it doesn't fit in. Now, Art Bell from 20 years ago, that fits in, no problem. This show about things happening right now doesn't fit in. Oh, my gosh. These are cowards. This is why I hate most of my industry, because they're just cowards. All right. Dave Scott is an expert on UFOs, and this is what happened at the hearings this week.
If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness? Like, how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a skiff about.
Dave Scott, expert on UFOs. How did you feel the hearings went this week? What did they expose?
Well, they exposed a number of things. Number one, like I told you last week, we got aliens, my man. We got aliens. And we have the crash retrievals that go along with it. But I think one of the major subjects that really caught my attention, Walter, was the fact that David Grush, the man you just heard talking, being interviewed by one of the Congress women there, he actually admitted and stated that allegedly people within the military and people within organizations have been roughed up and or worse, killed for talking about this subject and investigating this subject, both by UFOs and by your own government. It was amazing the allegations that were made in front of Congress, and Congress took it very seriously.
What's next week? What's coming up?
Well, I think what we're going to have here is more fallout from this, because even Representative Matt Gaetz came out and said he has had military people coming up to him about the Air Force dodging questions regarding an event of a UFO at Eglin Air Force Base in his constituency. And I think what we're going to see here is we're going to see more fallout and more whistleblowers starting to come forward here from within the U.S. government and the alphabet agencies, because they're on a roll right now. They're getting protected, and Congress is starting to take them very seriously.
Dave Scott, has there been a common description as to what the alien biologics look like? Is there a common theme to what they appear to be? Is there a reason for you and I to be afraid of them?
I don't think there's any reason to be afraid, but, I mean, you have to realize a threat narrative always brings bigger budgets with a lot more zeros in front of a one, Walter. I mean, you know how that works. But, I mean, what people are seeing is alleged 4 to 5 foot alien gray beings with giant gray heads, with big almond-shaped black eyes. They're wearing usually a silverish black bodysuit. And these are the same beings and creatures that people allege to be being abducted by in their from their bedrooms or their cars. You think of Whitley Strieber. You think of Betty and Barney Hill, Travis Walton. Everybody who's had famous encounters has had these alien grays that seems to have been taking them.
Betty and Barney Hill were first exposed. Their story first took place in 1957 on the Long John Neville All-Night Radio Show on WOR. That's how long this story has been out there, and that is how long this story has not been verified until now. The thing that I worry about is when people think that these aliens are coming from another planet far away. Based on the distances of planets compared to Earth, the hundreds of thousands of light years away most of these planets are, I don't think that travel's possible. My theory is that these are time travelers. These may, in fact, be people from our future time traveling. And the other thing is that there are all these crashed UFOs. Wait a minute, if you could travel light years to get here, you're not going to crash. I believe they were shot down by us.
Well, it might be that they were sending the teenagers out on a little mission to go get some science experiments from us humans here. We don't know, but you're absolutely right that Dr. Michael Masters, who's from Montana Tech, He is somebody who is really prevailing that these extraterrestrials that we think are coming from space are actually time travelers from the future. And he calls them extratempestrials. I don't know how he came up with that name, but, I mean, I'm sure it was over a good scotch or something. But the fact is he is in full compliance with exactly with what you're saying, that these could be us from the future and how we morphed into something that we don't recognize today.
All right, Dave Scott, how do we learn more about Dave Scott? What's your website and what's your email?
SpacedOutRadio.com. If you want to get a hold of me, info@SpacedOutRadio.com.
SpacedOutRadio.com. Coming up in just seconds, Dave Scott, you and I are going to hear about an amazing novel that covers every theme that we love. Ready? Teenage Time Travelers in the Future. In just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me!
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 Good Minutes.
Dr. Kevin Shuey is a distinguished oncologist who decided for some reason to start writing novels. And the amazing thing about his book, his latest book, Bad Love Tigers, is he's already won over 350 awards for this, for the screenplay, for the book. Were you shocked when it won that many awards?
I'm still shocked. Between my publicist and I, we really haven't been able to find any screenplay that actually has won this many awards. It's a story about teenagers that are solving adult problems. And I think there's some universal language in that.
This is about time traveling teenagers, right?
That's right. So there's a really cool tie-in here with the new movie, Oppenheimer. At its core, Walter, this is about a group of teenagers growing up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that accidentally discover a tunnel when they're out on a weekend adventure that leads to a top-secret World War II time travel machine called the White Hole Project. Now, how did the White Hole come into existence? Well, in World War II, it was Roosevelt that launched the Manhattan Project in June of 1942, and he did put General Leslie Groves of the U.S. Army in charge of that. The thesis, my thesis, the fictional part is that Roosevelt invites Albert Einstein to the White House in October of 1942. And he says to him, now, Albert, I am concerned that that Hitler and the Nazis may just win this race to get the atomic bomb. And we need a backup plan to the Manhattan Project in case we lose the race. And so I'm commissioning you to build, with your most trusted friends, a usable time travel machine called the White Hole Project. And we will only use that time travel machine in the event that Hitler and the Nazis win the race to get the atomic bomb.
All right, Dr. Shuey, I was attracted to the book because the people who listen to this show are called midnight misfits. We don't fit in. Nobody listens to the radio at this time of night unless they don't fit in. Your book is about a band of teenage misfits, and they are proud of the fact that they're misfits. Right now in Congress, there are hearings about aliens, about UFOs. Do we have alien bodies? Do we have alien craft? Right now, at this moment, this week, there has been testimony about that. Share with me your feelings about, do you believe that there are aliens from other planets or time portals that have visited us regularly? What are your feelings about this?
So for your audience, I would fit right in. Because I do believe that we have already been visited. I believe that the U.S. military and super secret elements within our own government are very much aware of this. and for reasons that are not totally clear, have just not been willing or forthcoming to allow the public to know what they know. And this is not just conjecture or wishful thinking or whatever you want to call it for someone who has a science fictional mind in addition to a medical and real science mind. There's a guy named David Grush who recently went public with his claims about an alleged secret U.S. military UFO retrieval program. And Grush is, he's the real deal. I mean, this isn't some fly-by-night guy. This is a U.S. Air Force veteran. He's putting his reputation on the line to go in front of Congress and blow the whistle. If you read the Bad Love book series, you'll learn about how expansive our universe is. And I'm sure you know, Walter, the universe continues to expand, right? I mean, right. If you study how the universe started, it's getting bigger. And so, you know, we're talking about distances in terms of billions of light years and billions of galaxies and potential planets. And so I think it takes more faith to believe that there aren't UFOs and there's not intelligent life elsewhere in the universe than to think we're the only ones in this vast universe.
Dr. Shuey, in the book, you have a time machine for these misfits. What do they do with the time machine?
The time machine, the White Hole Project, was built by Einstein as a backup plan to the Manhattan Project. It will take the time travelers from the present time, whatever time is present, and it'll take them back to the war years of 1942 through 1945. And Einstein's theory of relativity actually supports the concept of time travel. Basically, it's a wormhole, so it's time and space. But to use that wormhole, you have to travel through basically, if you're trying to visualize it, a funnel-shaped structure. And the neck of that funnel would be prone to collapse on the time travelers. To keep that funnel opening and to allow time travelers to go back and forth safely, you would need some otherworldly matter to hold that funnel open. And that, in fact, is called exotic matter. In my first book, Bad Love Strikes, it goes back to where an alien ship has crashed into Area 51 in June of 1942. Now, Area 51 was started basically in January of 42, very soon after Pearl Harbor. And so what I'm saying is that an alien craft crashed in June of 42. And that is the genesis of the U.S. knowing about exotic matter. We built a gigantic hangar around it that was actually built around an alien crash site.
This is the best story ever. Dr. Kevin Shuey, the author of Bad Love Tigers, Bad Love Tigers. Dr. Kevin Shuey, I urge you, my friends, I urge you to get Bad Love Tigers. Being made into a screenplay. I'll bet you anything it'll be made into a movie. And I thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. And now, here's your secret message. Here's the secret message that you need your decoder card to decode. Here it is. You're going to have to decode it. Are you ready? Midnight Misfits, get your decoder card out. Here we go. Here's the letters and numbers that you have to decode. 8-5-N. That's the first word. 8-7, ampersand, 8-S. Next word, U-9. Next word, 4, ampersand, 8. The last word is 8-S-N-7-E. Here we go. I'll give it to you once more. First word, 8-5-N. 8-5-N. Next word, 87, amber sign, 8S. Next word's U9. Next word is 4, amber sign, 8. And the last word is 8SN7E. Decode that, and you will have the answer to the UFO mystery. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome, Midnight Misfits. Welcome, Beryl Kravitz. Welcome, Charlie Greer. It's great to be with you, Sterling, on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
I want you to look at our website. It's Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show gives you all the information you'd ever want about pretty much anything. Plus, I've got a story about how my daughter and I scammed free food. We're very proud of that. And the horror that I went through this week trying to deal with a cancellation letter, a closing your account letter from PNC Bank, and how Bill Demchak, the CEO, hasn't seemed to answer my email. I answer emails, but they have no explanation as to why my account's being shut down. Have these things happened to you? 888-688-WALT. Love to hear your bank horror stories. 888-688-WALT. Weather, Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsteady poles. Uneven surfaces. Stripper strike. Portland. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
No matter what you've heard, no matter what you've read, no matter what you've seen, there is never an excuse to put cocaine in your baby's bottle. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part 4 of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of forgetting my bulletproof vest while I was working the 4th of July celebration in Coney Island. I needed one quick. Where did I get a vest from? The answer to that is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
It's the least stripper-friendly club in America. It's Portland's Magic Tavern. And 33 strippers have been on a strike for several different reasons. Number one, their dancing surface, uneven. When you're a dancer shaking the goods, you want to make sure your footing can remain steady, especially when you're on 5-inch stilettos. When you're dancing in stilettos, you need level. Just what it is. The stripper poles at Magic Tavern in Portland, unsteady. Apparently they shake back and forth as you're busy doing your dance on the pole. You know, you can't make money in the champagne room unless you're able to tantalize the drunken guys in your crowd. And the stripper pole is essential to that. A steady stripper pole. It's like a post that keeps a ceiling from falling in a big building. Strippers love poles. Yes, they do. Especially if they're golden. A lot of times when you go to a strip club, you think everything's fine and dandy with the ladies because they have big smiles on their faces. And quite frankly, it may be a terrible place to work because the safety of these ladies is under threat. I stand with the women who dance at Portland's Magic Tavern, and I support them. No stripper should go to an unsafe workplace. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. This next Florida story actually starts back in 2013. The Florida Stories series did not exist back then, but this sounds like something I would have told you about. A sinkhole opened up. These two brothers were living in a house together, and a sinkhole opened up right under one of their bedrooms. But the sinkhole was so wide and so deep, it ended up collapsing the whole house. The other brother survived, and he immediately called the cops and then went back to try and get to his brother, but no one ever got to him. And so what they end up doing, after all the rubble and everything had fallen into the sinkhole, it was still 13 feet deep. So we don't really know how far down these things go. And the normal protocol with sinkholes is just fence off that area and consider it a no man's land. So they put double chain link fencing around it. And then they fill what's left of the sinkhole with loose gravel and liquid. I'm assuming water, but they say liquid in the story because they expect further settling of whatever cavern far underneath the ground to continue. And that will prevent it from opening up a new sinkhole is if you leave this sort of the weakest link in the chain there. The sinkhole that swallowed that guy, it actually did have another sinking. The visual on this is incredible because the sinkhole at first didn't actually swallow up the whole house, but they had to go through and, you know, get as much rubble from around it as they could to clean it up and put the fence around it. And so when you look at this thing, it looks like it's about the diameter of a van. It's like a pretty big car all the way around, and it is sunk back up, and the gravel and liquid that were there are there no more, and it's just a giant hole again.
It doesn't appear to have grown overnight. Obviously, you don't want to get too close to start with a measuring tape. Approximately, I'd say 12 feet by 12 feet, and this is not uncommon, what we're seeing right here, reoccurrences. It's actually the preferred way of doing it, the way we handled it the first time, the way we filled it. That way, there's a reoccurrence. It's in a controlled area, hence behind me, you see double fences. So we can kind of control the situation. So
you can do something right, everything right, your entire life. You can never commit a sin. You can never run with scissors. You can always wear your helmet when you're riding a bicycle. But sometimes people are just going to die anyway. It's just your turn. I like how he says this is not uncommon. Yeah, it is. I've never seen that before. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I know that you've had a crush on Brittany Snow for quite some time. You first saw her in American Dreams, then your wife or daughters dragged you to Pitch Perfect, and you saw her then. And you always thought, you know, she's really cute. And I wonder what she looks like nude. Well, now she's going to be in a movie called X. And she's all erotic and sweaty in X.
There is hot out there. You must be awful thirsty. I want to be in the movie. Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Yes, she's topless in that. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. Welcome. You and I don't fit in. That's why we're here. Nobody normal listens to the radio at this time. I'm looking in my magic mirror, and I see Dee Wells, John Kelly, Rosemary Furlong, Michael Garay, Charlie Green, Nate Tester, Ann Knupp, Irene Robertson, Marion Jewel Riley, which is my favorite name in the whole world, Ann Knupp. Thank you, Ann. Rebecca Canner. Yes, Rebecca. Hello. Welcome. Jane Hartington, Ben White, all of my Midnight Misfits, welcome. The great thing about being... Oh, and John A. John A. just sent me a picture of what he was looking at. This son of a gun, you know what he's got? He's showing me a picture of a tray of goodies. Banana bread, cookies, all sorts of stuff that I don't have right now that I would kill to have. This week, my daughter and I were in an office building, big glass office building. We looked out into the courtyard and we saw food trucks and a buffet, and people coming out of the building and going to get food at this courtyard. And I'm looking, and I'm like, huh, let's go. We go because the food truck was serving very famous custard, ice cream custard. Daughter says, let's get that. And I'm looking, I'm like, Jesus, barbecue here, but there's no cash register. There's no place to pay for this. So I'm getting barbecue and potato salad, and she's getting custard, and we're sitting there eating. And then I realize we are the only ones without employee tags on. This was for employees, a special treat on Fridays at lunch, right? But I'm like, I have suffered a lot because of what happens in this particular building, and we're going to take it. We had no hesitation. I did this once before. I passed by a church on a Saturday around noon, and I'm figuring, well, maybe they're one of those step meetings in there. I pull into the parking lot because I got an hour to kill. The daughter is getting piano lessons. I have an hour to kill. We're in the middle of nowhere. I don't know how I got there. I go into this rec room in this church, and it's all set up nicely. There's nobody in there, but there's a big photograph of some guy there and a buffet of sausage pizza. Only sausage pizza, and only sausage pizza is what I like. It is progressively hard to get. There's all the damn pizza with pineapples that nobody wants. Nobody wants that. No true pizza person wants pineapple on their pizza. I want sausage on my pizza. And there it was. Only sausage pizza from the right place. Well, now I grab a couple slices, and there's only Diet Coke. That's all I drank at the time. Now I can't drink it because of long COVID. Oh, my God, that's a different story. However, there I am with the sausage pizza and the Diet Coke, and now people come in. People from the church come in, and now they're sitting around the table, and one of them looks at me and says, "How did you know Frank?" I'm like, oh, my God, this is a funeral lunch. This was a luncheon for a funeral. I very quietly get up. I very quietly take my pizza to the car and leave very quickly before anybody realizes it. Tony in Pittsburgh listening on the legendary KDKA. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Walter. How you been?
Well, it's good to hear your voice, a real listener, somebody who we respect. I appreciate it. Welcome. Hi.
Thank you, sir. Well, I have a bank horror story.
I want to hear.
I don't trust banks anymore. Yeah, I don't trust banks anymore for this reason. This probably happened about 10, 12 years ago. I had a Discover account that was went over limit. And it went over limit because of finance charges, not because of my spending. So I didn't know that they could penalize you for that at the time. And I got a severe penalty. So I just basically stopped paying the card, which was my fault and my problem. But what wasn't my fault was I had a few thousand dollars in the bank, most of which wasn't my money. I ran a bowling league. It was bowling league money, but I had it in my personal account. And I got a call one morning that they liquidated my funds because of a judgment that Discover Card had against me, and all they left me with was $200. And I never recouped that money. And the thing was, I thought, well, if this money is federally insured, how can they do that? So anyway, since then, I don't keep most of my money in the bank. You know what I mean?
Do you keep it in a credit union or in your mattress?
Well, it's in the equivalent of my mattress in my secret hiding place.
Tony, I appreciate your call. All banks are horrible. I was thinking, you know, I'll switch from PNC to another bank, but the reality is, and I will switch to another bank, but they all suck. I've never had a good experience with a bank, just like I've never had a good experience with a car. Thank you very much. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about Coney Island. Now, I spent the vast majority of my career under the umbrella of what's called OCCB, or the Organized Crime Control Bureau, which housed Narcotics Division, Auto Crime Division, and Vice. But OCCB had another name. It was called Other Commands Can Borrow, meaning any parade, demonstration, or holiday, we would get thrown into uniform as detectives and flown out to different locations for crowd control. Every summer, at least the 4th of July and Memorial Day, I would get sent out to Coney Island. Coming from the Bronx, Coney Island is like an hour, hour and a half with traffic. So what we would do is myself and several other detectives would meet at the Bronx office. We would take a department car and we would drive out to Brooklyn. From there, we would line up, we would get counted, and we would get our assignments. Now, sometimes it was fun if you got assigned over by the Freak Show or the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, but it was hot out there and there was really no place to hide from the sun, and especially you wearing that bright blue navy uniform, the heat just bears down on you. So oftentimes, I didn't wear my bulletproof vest. So one summer, I'm working the 4th of July down at Coney Island, and this deputy inspector comes over and he pokes his finger right in my chest and he goes, "Detective Ferrari, where's your bulletproof vest?" Now, I hadn't brought it, and I says, "Oh, Inspector, it's in the trunk of my car." He goes, "Well," he looked at his watch, he says, "You got an hour." He says, "If you're not back here in an hour wearing your bulletproof vest," he goes, "I'm going to give you a command discipline." I said, "All right, sir," and I walked away. So my partner goes, "What are you going to do?" I says, "Come on." So we left our post, and I walked over to, I think it's a 6-1 precinct in Coney Island. I walk into the station house, and there's a young cop behind the TS. He's answering phones, and I look at him. I go, "Do me a favor, could you stand up?" Young cop just looks at me like I'm crazy. He stands up, and I said, "You're about my height and weight." I go, "Where's your bulletproof vest?" He goes, "Well, it's in my locker." I said, "Do you want to go to the auto crime school?" And the kid goes, "Yeah, of course." The auto crime division, we had a school, and it was a week long. But everybody in the department wanted to go to that thing because if you were studying for the sergeant's exam, you needed college credits to become a sergeant. And the week-long course in auto theft was free, and you got 4 college credits for a week's work. So the kid jumped at the chance. He runs downstairs, comes back up with the bulletproof vest. I took down all his information. I says, "I'll be back in 45 minutes. I throw on his bulletproof vest. I walk up to the THV, a temporary headquarters vehicle. I go to the inspector. I go, "See, boss, I'm wearing my vest." He goes, "All right, great." He goes, "I hope you didn't borrow that from someone." I said, no, of course." Went back to the precinct, gave the kid his vest, yada, yada, yada. He got to go to the auto crime school, and I signed out at the end of my tour without a command discipline. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Keith Mortensen, congratulations on your retirement, and thank you so much for being a loyal Midnight Misfit. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help. Every email I get, I answer. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And we have a spectacular website. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show is created by Lee Harris. This entire show has been dedicated to Mark Simone and Steve Moore and Dave Labrosi and Greg Stockard. These are the smartest program directors in America. And Alan First, thank you for the contribution to the show. The smartest programmers in America know that this is a no-risk deal. A live Sunday night show? Oh, my gosh. Rather than playing a 20-year-old broadcast of Art Bell? What are you guys thinking? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Have fun. This is Sterling on Sunday.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.
If the summer heat hasn't convinced you to replace your old windows and doors, well, maybe the great people at Guided Door and Window can help by giving you an extra month to do so at the best prices of the year. Now, take advantage of Guided's big summer sale and receive 40% off every window and door you buy. Receive 40% off each window you buy. That's right, 40% off all expertly installed high-performance triple-pane windows, and receive 40% off any high-quality door, including...